God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains tremble with its tumult. The nations are in an uproar, and the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, and the earth melts. Be still, and know that I am God. Be still, and know that I am God. You try it? Be still, and know that I am God. Sometimes when we've taken confirmation students off on retreat and we're trying to teach prayer disciplines and prayer activities, that's one of the phrases that we'll use. Be still, and know that I am God. Try it again. Be still, and know that I am God. Sometimes we've even written it up on the board and done it, be still and know that I am. Be still and know. You see what I'm doing? And then all the way, be still. It's a good start. Be still. Earlier this week, Nancy and I were looking over the pieces of the e-newsletter. You know how the Good Word has shifted to this Thursday afternoon electronic blast out to people. And folks, you know, they submit articles and things they want for us to capture there and distribute. So we look at the calendar and the timing and we prioritize things. And well, a couple of days ago, I suggested a headline for the first announcement this week that would be, November 20 is Stewardship Sunday. And then I said it again for effect. November the 20th is Stewardship Sunday. And she got really quiet, and she looked down, and she started to giggle, and she said, you want people to go to church, right? Be still. Yeah. Stewardship is not just money, is it? Stewardship is not just time, it's not just our bodies. Stewardship is not just the earth, it's not just our skills, but it is all those things. It is at least all those things. But it's tough to have an honest and meaningful conversation about God's gift of stewardship and not somehow, somewhere along the line, talk about money. You feel it. And I feel it. So much of the time, conversations about money in church always come with baggage. I mean, don't really, right? That we talk about it in this kind of a setting, and somehow those conversations always feel just a little bit loaded. Feels like there's more going on that might first meet the eye. Sometimes talk about money surfaces strong feelings, maybe the first of which is guilt. Yikes, I should be doing better, or I should be doing more. I should be more generous, or I shouldn't be keeping so much for myself. And pretty soon you're buried in this big pile of should. Talking about money always has baggage. It's always a loaded subject. Sometimes talk about money, well, it surfaces in the form of suspicion. Why do they keep asking me for money? And what are they doing with all that money anyway? It's loaded. Sometimes we find ourselves wishfully thinking that if we ignored it, maybe it'll all just go away. We wouldn't have to deal with it anymore. My friend Phil Reitz calls it a money story. A money story. And we all have our money story. For most of us, it took shape in the earliest days of our lives when we watched our folks. We have a money story that was shaped by their behavior and by their words. We watched when our parents worried about money, when they fought about money, when they shared their money, when they hid their money. I don't know what your money story is, but it carries freight. And it shapes the way we act even now. So, be still. The Apostle Paul wrote to that tiny Christian community at Colossae, inland, probably 120 miles from Ephesus. We don't know exactly where it is because most of it came down in an earthquake, but it was a place where the woolen industry was centered. And he writes to them with such affection, such warmth, unlike he does other congregations. If you've ever read Galatians, you know, you just kind of wince. But Paul writes to these Colossians and says, "May you be made strong with the strength of God's glorious power, prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to God. Prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to God." Did Paul know Psalm 46? Did he know, "Be still"? Nathan Dungan and Jonathan Ortberg and a whole list of Christian authors have done a good bit of writing on the topic of Christian stewardship. You can get rows and shelves of books on money and church. And even though we know better, well, we see that money has in our life together a kind of spiritual power. And it's a power that is significant enough that it actually has influence in our lives. In fact, money has so much power, it helps us start to believe that, well, if some money is good, then more must be better. The spiritual power of money is so much so that it makes me start to believe that money can save me from my pain, save me from my boredom or my anxiety. Money has such a spiritual power that it starts to shape the way that I believe, and I start to think that money is a sign that means I have success, or that I'm valued, that people love me. You see what I mean? We know better, and yet this power that it has starts to influence the way that we think, so much so that we think of money as a goal, something to which I commit myself, something for which I make a sacrifice, something I must keep, because if I let go of it, there will be emptiness, there will be failure, there will be loss. Money has spiritual power. In the force of this power, what then are we supposed to do? I mean, how on earth am I supposed to deal with the tremendous influence? How on earth am I supposed to deal with this coercive might of money's grip on my life? And it's usually right about now when the pastor says, "Just give it away. Just give it to the church." You see what I mean? That's so often the answer to the question, what am I supposed to do in the face of the burden of money? Put it in the offering plate. But is that enough? Is that really what's going on? I don't think it is. In fact, I don't think our problem is with money at all. What if our problem is with God? Be still, I am God. Do you remember this book? It's, I think 2 years ago was the 50th anniversary of Shel Silverstein's wonderful little parable, The Giving Tree. And if you remember how the story goes, have you read it? You know, hold up your hand. Do you remember? Yeah, you're nodding. Brennan Manning says of that book, "Once there was a tree, and she loved a little boy." And so begins the story of a tree being happy. She is able to make the boy happy. At first, the boy desires nothing but to climb on her branches and eat her apples and lie in her shade. But as the boy grows, so do his desires. But because of the tree's love, she gives her apples for him to sell for money to have real fun. Because of her love, she gives her branches that he might build a house for a wife and family. But because of her love, she gives her trunk so that he could build a boat and sail away from the boredom of his life. And then one day, This son, this boy, this prodigal returns to the tree that loves him. And by now she has given him everything. All that remains of her is an old stump. The boy, now an old man, needs only to be quiet, to sit, and to rest. And the giving tree gives once more. Is it a parable about the boy or something else? Is it a parable about, oh, you shouldn't just keep exhausting and taking? Is it a way to scold us for receiving so much? Or maybe the parable is about something else, about the nature of this love, this tree that doesn't know when to quit, that gives and gives and gives out of love. Basil Hume says that Christians find it easier to believe that God exists than to believe that God loves them. Do you see it? Christians find it easier to believe that God exists than to believe that God loves them. What if the essence of the Christianity that we share is not about the things we should do for God? What if the essence of this faith that we share is all about the God who just can't wait to give to us, to extend love and providence and generosity? This God who is doing for and doing with and doing around us all the time. So what should we do with our money? What shall we do? Be still. Amen.